The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Josh Weinfuss, ESPN, Arizona Cardinal, respected reporter. Not disrespected, just Arizona Cardinal reporter. I shouldn't say it that way. But I like Josh, and he is respected. We should know that. Otherwise, I wouldn't put him on the show. Goody is going to be with us today. So the other night I saw Batman, the Batman, and Goody has already seen it, has already put his review out. Bill is going to join us from Arizona State where he's teaching. So I don't know exactly how this is going to look, but Bill will be joining us on the movie, The Batman. I would say go see it. It's just, it's really long and it's dark. Man, it's dark, but it's good. It's good enough. Spurgeon, I saw it the other night. Took Jordan Spurgeon. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Please support those that you see and hear about as you consume this. They are the ones that keep us going. We are in year number 11 of doing this. Year number 11 and no end in sight. You never know, though, day to day. It's how we all are in life. All right. Got heavy there for a second. Okay, so the Cardinals. So, you know, I've not been on the last. I wasn't on yesterday. The stuff with Kyler and his agent was Tuesday. Yesterday was the Cardinals having to recapture the attention of the marketplace, because if there's one thing I know about Michael Bidwell, it's he just does not like to be upstaged. He doesn't. The Cardinals are in this mode that through the years – and I got here in 93, and it's pretty tried and true with them. It doesn't matter. You can take out the general managers and coaches, but it's pretty much what the ownership way is. And, you know, extend the head coach and the general manager after they had a poor ending to the year. I think Steve gets a higher grade than Cliff. If you don't want to give Steve Keim any credit at all, I think you're mistaken. James Conner was a very good pick. Zach Ertz was a very good pick. You know, J.J. Watt was a typical Cardinal. Let's get a big name, aging name that's going to cause buzz. Michael likes buzz. And J.J. did produce, but there's no way he was going to make it through the season unscathed at that stage in his career. It's kind of like when they brought Emmitt Smith here, and it's just they just like to do that. That's the way they go about their business. And it's their team. So they extend the head coach and the general manager. Fan base is like, what? For the most part, what? And Michael doesn't care. He's now recaptured what Kyler Murray's agent had on Monday and Tuesday. Michael goes back and says, oh, yeah, well, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And he could have done this in May, July, August. I'm sitting over here saying, you know, extending Cliff. And if the team runs off the cliff, and doesn't have a great start. The NFC West is loaded. I don't see where the Cardinals are a team that even comes close to being a Super Bowl contender the way they're constructed right now. I mean, you have dysfunction between you, the owner, and the general manager and the quarterback. And when I get the usual, well, you know, it's just business and all that. Like what Steve said yesterday, I'm not being critical. And it's like that's what the Cardinals always say. You know, I was thinking about this. It's like, Arizona State is over there saying, hey, no fire over here. You know, keep moving. Buy tickets. We have no problems over here. Forget about all the people that have left or the cheating that was going on and that was out there that we all – no, none of that happened. Herm's, it's all, hey, we're here. Let's talk about the new quarterback from Alabama. You know, Ray, we got this. We got this, is what he's been telling big alums. Ray's meeting today with the Sun Devil Club group, or one of those groups, this afternoon at 3:30. What's he going to say? You know, and then the president over there is just like, oh, well. So it's time for the Board of Regents, guys. Let's just get around the people that are, no, I don't see anything. I don't hear anything. So then you have the Cardinals, our hometown heroes on the gridiron, your Cardinals. They're going to convince you, the fan, are going to try to convince you, the fan, that they spend. Look, man, we spend money. To keep the coach and the GM, that's an extra, what, $10, $12 million a year, which is nothing. They're going to ask Kyler what he wants. He's going to come back, and the agent's going to say, $40 million. No, we're just not going to do that. And then they're going to offer him around 6 years at $25 million, somewhere around there. They'll come back with that. And then they're going to tell you, well, we offered him $150 million, 6 years, 25. And then it's going to be, you know, we offered him this, which is telling you that Kyler's greedy. This is how they are going to negotiate. And then they're going to take the stance of, well, you got to honor your contract. And then they're going to wait on the $100 million guarantee to make sure that he is the guy, because that's still up in the air. And you know what? It's going to save the club about, I don't know, $50, $60 million. And they're just going to sit there and manage their hedge. How it goes. So, you know, people can banging on Cliff or Keim for getting the money. What are they going to say? No, I don't want to be extended. This is Michael just being Michael. Michael likes attention. Michael likes being charged. Michael doesn't like to be bullied. Michael doesn't like when people like me say, you're Cardinals when they lose. And more often than not, I'm saying you're Cardinals because they lose more often than they win. You know, I respect the fact that he owns his team, but all I have to say is this isn't lack of respect, disrespect, anything. It's just like, what are the numbers show of Super Bowl appearances or championship game appearances? That's all. I'm just about trying to have teams on the field that you fans go to that are good, that are great. And if I look at the NFC West right now, I don't know how you don't have Cliff on the clock right after he gets an extension. Seriously. They're 3-4. You don't think Michael's going to just blow it? So if they don't make it next year, then, you know, well, he extended him. Doesn't matter. NFL prints money. Prints money. New TV deals are going to come out. Amazon, all that. So there's a lot of PR stuff that's going on. And I just, when the PR stuff goes on, I'm just like, okay, keep walking. Get me to the games. Show me what you're about. Scoreboard doesn't lie. You can't PR away. You can have your media outlets that you pay or they pay you and you provide and all that stuff. You can have all that. But when facts are, brass tacks is, what are you doing in the scoreboard? You can't protect a football program that is mediocre. To me, next year, you have to get beyond the first round of the playoffs. You have to look like a team that belongs in the playoffs, not a team that looked really good in September and October when most teams are just trying to figure it out. So, you know, this week's been kind of comical, I think. The agent, I don't know what he was thinking, because in the war of public opinion, in this town, to think that everybody is on the side of the Cardinals, no. My circles in the last 24 hours have been, they did what? And by the way, most people in this town are still Cowboys, Packers, NFL fans. If the team here wins, they'll jump on the wagon in a minute. But they're fans of the Seahawks. They're fans of Russell Wilson. They're not fans of teams. They're fans of players. They love Josh Allen, Bills Mafia. Here, the perception of Kyler is not great. Ownership, not great. But they did their thing. You know, last night was Al McCoy being celebrated for 50 years of doing games for the Suns. And it's a marvelous achievement. We've had Al on dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And I hope Al keeps going simply because of this. He's still really good. Okay? There's sometimes in our broadcast world, someday somebody's going to come in and just shovel me out. It's going to happen. I'll lose it. I won't be interested, or I just won't be in a space where I want to keep doing this, and it's just be time. And people are like, well, when's Al going to retire? It's insulting when people ask that. When you still have it. You know, when Vin Scully decided to retire at the end, a lot of my Dodger fans are like, oh man, the team's still going to play games, guys. Let's just be clear about this. Maybe Vin wants to go enjoy his life. Growing up in San Diego, it was Jerry Coleman, and Jerry would call an infield fly a home run. It would happen, and we loved Jerry for that, and it happened. But announcers move on. In Al's case, he is so good still. Quick, every morning I do, beside what I do here, one of the things I do is, and I've done it for the last 20 plus years, is a morning sports cast that is heard on stations around the state. I do it, and it's like 12, 13 stations. And every morning I'm up at 5 a.m. or late at night putting it together. And I always use some of Al doing games in my play-by-play stuff. You know, the Suns played last night, and it's Booker passes to Cam Johnson for three, Shazam. Never hear Al miss it. And then when I do on that occasion, I'm not usually a radio guy and late in the afternoon. I'm dialed in for my family and all that stuff. So I'm not out at 6, 7, unless I'm at practices or taking care of things. But when I am and I hear Al, he doesn't miss it. He's so good. And the thing about when Al is doing his games, I can't tell who's winning or losing in a lot of cases, which is the ultimate mark of someone who's there to do his thing and do it the right way. Suns aren't playing well, going to be said. No sugarcoating. Don't need it. Don't want it. So I'm glad they did 50 for him. It's a great achievement, obviously. Hall of Famer, got it. Just keep doing it if you want to keep doing it. I talked to Al. It was like in December I went to a game and we had a nice chat. He's like, I still love doing it. Well, keep doing it because you're really, really damn good. The combine is today, and I've got a story that I'm working on later today that I'm really excited about. I can't share it because there's people in this business that steal it. And it's going to be a really cool story. I'm excited for it. I'll just tell you that. It'll be on the site. Probably, I don't know, it'll be on my social later today. Probably by tonight at 6, 7 o'clock. The pro basketball and hockey seasons are in full swing. New sportsbook customers can bet a buck on the money line and win $150 in free bets if their pro basketball or hockey team wins, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Guys, all you have to do is go to DraftKings, sign up, and you can go right to it here on sports360az.com. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. Put a dollar wager on your basketball or hockey team, and if they win, you win $150 in free bets. Just use promo code SPORT1000. SPORT1000. And there you go. DraftKings. Appreciate their support. ASU basketball tonight, they've won 5 of 6. A team that next week I'll be doing the show from Vegas. I'll be up there at the Pac-12 tournament. Very much looking forward to seeing how they finish out this regular season and what it looks like up there. Have they hit that wall of, okay, we're playing really well, and then you have that letdown game? Or do you finish these two and build up your resume? You're going to need to have a deep, if not make it all the way to the championship game and win it in order to go to the tournament. In all likelihood, do I think they can do that? U of A just looks too tough, but you know, U of A did not look good against Colorado. Jordan Hamm was in Tucson yesterday for the spring game for the U of A. And not spring game, the opening of spring football. I went with Jordan on Tuesday and we had lunch with Jed Fish. I like Jed Fish. I like visiting with him. And I like his open, honest, straightforward policy. And they turned over a third of their roster. You can laugh all you want. They've lost 21 to 22, and I shouldn't make the time to drive to Tucson. No, it's a really good story. We're actually, I don't know, we're actually talking football. We weren't talking about NCAA investigation. We weren't talking about transfer portal. We weren't talking about anything other than just X and O football. It's kind of refreshing. I don't know. I kind of liked it. Josh Weinfuss on the Cardinals, and then Goody on the Batman, Robert Pattinson, any good. Those two are next. All right, as promised, Josh Weinfuss, ESPN, Arizona Cardinal reporter, fresh off an all-expense-paid trip to Indianapolis to hear Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury talk about the draft, to get news about them sticking around for many, many years. So what did you think when the news came out about Cliff and Steve being extended? And I'm not saying that with tongue in cheek, like what a dumb decision this is, because everybody's got a different opinion. You may be like, make perfect sense. What did you make out of it?
I was surprised. I'll be 100%. Just like a lot of the people I talked to at the combine yesterday, I was very surprised. I figured that this would come maybe mid-season or right after the season, the 2022 season, depending on how the year went. You know, obviously Michael Bidwell, the Cardinals owner, was not happy with how the 2021 season ended, not just with the playoff blowout loss, at the LA Rams, but with kind of how those last, you know what, so they started 7-0, they're 17 to last 10 games, how those went. You know, he was just not happy with that happening for the second straight season. And that's pretty obvious, right? So I did not expect them to get extended at this point. But the more I thought about it last night after I got home from Indy, it somewhat made sense because there was so much talk about the statement put out by Kyler Murray's agent, Eric Burkhart, on Monday morning. And that kind of dominated the headlines, right? That dominated the press conferences for Kliff and Keim on Tuesday at the Combine. So this might have been a way, and this could have been coming, right? This could have been in the works and something Michael Biddle wanted to do. But putting it out yesterday could have been a way for them to steal back the headlines, the momentum, which is something that Michael Bidwell is known to do and likes to do, right? He doesn't want to be overshadowed by anybody. And this was, he was being strong-armed by Kyler Murray's agent. He didn't like that. So this could have been part, you know, the timing of it could have been because of that. But overall, I did not expect this to happen. I actually think that, and I still think this, that if Kliff Kingsbury struggles, if the Cardinals struggle to start the 2022 season, and that's really bad, there's a chance he could be fired by Thanksgiving next year. I really believe that. Now they could go 13-4 and go to, you know, the NFC Championship game, and obviously that's a moot point. But I did not expect this to happen after the way the last two seasons ended.
Okay, so I agree with you about Michael. Let's just focus on Michael. Michael's about Michael. That's it. And if we're just cutting right through all the nonsense and we're not sugarcoating and you're there, I've been here for all these years. At the end of the day, anybody who tries to strong arm Michael, Michael will either take them out in his own ways around town, beat them down, or do what he did the other day. And so I guess I'm in your camp where, you know, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Right. And I'll show you what I'm going to do. And there's been times that he's extended players where we've said, what is going on here? You know, and in this case, I just, I felt like the timing, like it was forced. And I think your point is very valid that, you know, he's just going to, he was thinking about doing this anyways. And it's, nope, this is who it is. And this is how we're going to be. And we're the Cardinals and we've got it all figured out. That's what it came down to.
Right, I don't think anybody inside that building was thrilled with Eric Burkhart's statement on Monday. You know, Steve Keim, the GM, for years has refused to negotiate publicly. And that's just his prerogative. That's how he wants to do things. And that's totally fine, right? A lot of GMs operate that way. Some operate the other way, but Steve Keim chooses not to do that. To me, it felt like this forced the point, right? Obviously, Kyler Murray and his team did not get a response to their contract. Offer, you know, or their version of the contract. They were not getting the progress that they wanted to see at this point in the offseason. So they took a risk. And this was, in my opinion, that was a pretty risky move because extensions like this do not happen in March. There's no reason for them to happen in March. They come in late July, early to mid-August, before the season happens. And I think the number is 6 quarterbacks have been extended after their third season in the last 10 years, right? The last, obviously, was Josh Allen last offseason. But they all happen summer or late, you know, midsummer or late summer. So the timing of that statement was baffling. The timing of the extensions was a little bit weird to me. Like we just talked about, it made sense when they wanted to steal back the headlines. But, you know, going back to Michael, like you pointed out, he does not like to be overshadowed. And you brought up a lot of good points. He will demote people. He will reassign people. He will try to take control of situations. And I think what we've seen with the last two head coaches in Steve Wilks and Kliff Kingsbury is Michael Bidwell really trying to assert his power as owner of this team, saying, this is my way. This is how you're going to do it. If you're going to work for me and I'm going to pay you, you're going to do it the Michael Bidwell way. And has that worked? Yes and no, right? The Cardinals have seen year over year of success under Kliff Kingsbury, but they've also seen second half collapses. They've seen blowouts in the playoffs. Sure, they did get to the playoffs, but there's kind of a, you know, it's like one step forward or two steps forward, one step back type of thing. But I think overall this has Michael's fingerprints all over it. He did not like to get strong-armed on Monday morning. He did not like the, you know, Kyler Murray dominating the headlines with all the questions and stuff like that. And Michael said, you know what? I'm going to do it my way. Here it is. And here we are.
Okay, and let's just go back. Bruce Arians wanted out of here at the end. He was worn down from the Bidwell regime. Ken Wisenhunt, yes. Worn down. The Bidwell regime. If we're just cutting through all the nonsense, And looking at the history of the franchise, the typical Cardinal coach lasts about 3.5 years. So Michael is trying to change that. It's his team. He can do with it what he wants. The facts are the team doesn't win consistently. The facts are the team doesn't get to Super Bowls. And so, you know, the way Michael's going about his business is very Michael.
And, you know, and that's his prerogative, right? He owns a team.
Sure.
So he can do whatever he wants. Does that mean it's the right way? No. Does that mean it's the winning way? Obviously not. They've been to the playoffs once every 6 years. You know, well, the offs back to back with Bruce, and then you had the Wisenhunt years, but it's about 6 years in between. And then, you know, he's made mistakes. He hired Steve Wilkes. He handled that situation the way he handled it, and that led to Steve Wilkes being here for 1 year. Cliff Kingsbury is now in this situation. You know, but to me, the issue with the Cardinals right now, it isn't, you know, a lot of people want to blame this on Kyler Murray. And I think that that's part of the reason for that is because of what's come out in the last couple of months. We've seen a lot of leaked criticism of Kyler Murray from inside the Cardinals building. But we're not seeing a lot of criticism of the head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, and how he coaches Kyler Murray, how he handles late game situations, how he handles second half situations of the season, and how, most importantly, he did not adapt this offense. And he took credit for this, or he took the blame for this at the combine. He did not adapt this offense once DeAndre Hopkins went down.
Right, right. Well, and you know, Josh, I'll go further than that. The leaks within the organization. So when Carson Palmer went on Dave Pasch's podcast and really laid, in my opinion, Kyler out, that was the first step of, okay, this is coming from former player on a podcast that the play-by-play guy is doing. It's on his own. It's on Dave's own. I'm not being critical of Dave. It's just there's some control by the Cardinals on when things get out. They're very good at that. They are very, very good at working over media and strong-arming people.
100%. You're not going to put out criticism of your quarterback on a team-run podcast if you didn't want it out there. Plain and simple. And there's been no criticism of Cliff Kingsbury, very little criticism, public criticism, if any, of Steve Keim. Like, they're putting this all on Kyler Murray, and I can't imagine he's thrilled about this, saying, you know what, it's not all my fault. It's not my fault you gave me Max Garcia as my offensive guard, and he got bulldozed by Aaron Donald time and time again. That's not on Kyler Murray. Like, you can't do anything when you're getting run into by your guard because Aaron Donald has crushed the man. That's not on Kyler Murray.
But when Budda Baker is laid out on the field and Kyler Murray is not out there, totally, the rest of his teammates, horrible look.
Totally. There are issues, right? There are significant improvements that Kyler Murray can make. You know, he needs to be a better leader. The body language needs to improve. You know, guys who haven't necessarily bought into him can't be thrilled when he's throwing his hands up in disgust or throwing his head back after a missed play. Like, you're not going to win over the rest of your teammates like that. He's a quiet kid naturally, right? He's always been. I've talked to plenty of people in his past. That's just not a narrative. That's a fact, right? He does not like to talk. He's not a leader by he's not a vocal leader. And, you know, I will give Carson Palmer some credit. What he said about faking it during bad times and good times as a quarterback is necessary, right? Cliff Kingsbury has talked a lot about showing Kyler Murray a lot of tape on Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady on body language and on how they lead their players, lead their men. And we hear a lot about that. Leaders of men, right? Kyler Murray just isn't at that point yet. He's 24. So maybe that's part of the reason. Maybe it's just how he's wired. It's a combination of both. He does need to improve in some areas, but to put the amount of blame that people are putting on this kid right now for the Cardinals issues is it's irresponsible because it's not just him. Sure, he's the one making the plays, but when he's not put in a good position by their coaching staff because they don't give him the right receiving options, I mean, here's my question. You lose DeAndre Hopkins. He's your ex-receiver isolated to the left of Kyler, and then you have trips, you know, three receivers to his right. You lose your DeAndre Hopkins. He's your ISO. You're replacing him with an undrafted kid, Antoine Wesley. Sure, the Cardinals have a lot of confidence in him, but he's not an established receiver. You need to draw the defense away from those three guys of A.J. Green, Christian Kirk, Rondale Moore. a defense doesn't care about Antoine Wesley, as we saw. That so all they do is focus their attention on those three guys. That took away half the field. The Cardinals' offense is basically stuck in mud at that point. And that's what we saw once DeAndre Hopkins got hurt. Why isn't Cliff Kingsbury using his offensive creativity to maybe move Christian Kirk to that side, to maybe even A.J. Green? I don't care how old he is. Just the threat of him making a play or two, go at him a few times, spread the defense, it's a whole new ballgame. I just don't get it. It's not all Kyler Murray's fault.
Josh Weinfuss with us. Are they going to – so how do you think – how do you think this will play out in the offseason? Does he get an extension in the next couple of weeks? Does the agent say, we want out, and we go through all the rhetoric and all of the kumbaya afterwards? Do you think that Kyler is still the guy at quarterback? I happen to think that's the case at the start of the
game. I do too.
But where do you come down on all this?
He'll get his money, right? Because here's the thing. When the NFL quarterbacks reign supreme, and the question that everyone in the Cardinals organization has to ask themselves is, what's the other option? Who is going to be our quarterback if Kyler Murray is not that person? And this team has seen for years and years and years what happens when you don't have stability at quarterback. And it's not like they can go draft a guy this year because this class isn't very good. I mean, you could go trade the house for a guy like an Aaron Rodgers. You can make an offer for a Russell Wilson. But how much long-term stability does that create? It doesn't. That's just more signs that you're going for it now.
I'll jump in on you on that. Yeah. It creates a lot of buzz, which Michael loves.
Totally.
He loves buzz. It doesn't have to make sense. It's just, oh my gosh, we have buzz.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Look at the J.J. Watt signing.
Oh, it's the track record of the organization is they like buzz. And it could go all the way back to, let's bring Emmitt Smith here when he came up to play.
I mean, 100%.
Through the years, whenever there's an aging superstar. And
it's a fascinating point. It's a fascinating point because you're 100% right. He loves the big names. He loves the splash signings, whether they produce or not. It doesn't really matter to this team if you think about it.
No, it doesn't matter because in this market, it's so transitory. And, you know, this is not a Cardinals town. They may say it is. It's not. It's a Cowboy, Packer, Bears. It's always going to be a melting pot. All these people coming in from California, it's going to be a Rams town. So we're always going to have this, well, the stadium is half full or three quarters full and all that, and it's just not. So I guess I'm looking at it saying, I can't rule out, look, he extended Cliff and Steve this week. Why would I not think that he'd say, well, you know, we did our due diligence on Deshaun Watson, and there's a lot there that we don't know about or that you don't know about because we're smarter than you and we're going to do this.
Deshaun Watson, I mean, here's the thing with Deshaun Watson. I think it's too toxic of a situation to touch. You just don't know what's going to happen legally. You don't know what the league's going to come down on. I mean, there's a reason why the league hasn't touched it yet. Well, that's because he wasn't playing. Because the Texans said, we're just not going to play him. So the league probably said, we don't need to do anything then. Yeah. So what's going to happen if the Cardinals, let's say hypothetically the Cardinals do trade for Deshaun Watson, they get him, they say they're going to play him, and the league's like, no, you're not. We got to figure this out first. So what good was that trade? And hopefully they would do their due diligence and figure that know that's going to happen before they make the trade. But I think there could be a good balance. Get those splashy signings. Get those older guys that can create some buzz. Get some butts in the seats, which is at the end of the day the name of the game. But also complement it with some good draft picks, some good young talent. Give Kyler Murray some weapons around him that he can have for the foreseeable future. That really hasn't happened yet.
But I think in town, Josh, Kyler, in the world of public opinion, I think the Cardinals had the upper hand on Monday. I think here on Thursday, they don't have the upper hand. I think both sides are now like, well, Kyler acts like he doesn't really care, or he lays out his teammates. And can you believe they gave the coach and the GM extensions? I think in town now, the people that matter – what they do in their building, that's their building. They don't matter to the common fan that I run into that's out in the community. In the community, it's like, okay, I'm just going to move over here to the Suns. I'm going to move over here to whatever NFL team. I'm going to go root for this player. There's season ticket holders at the end of the year that were like, I've seen this enough. And it doesn't matter if it's Arizona State and their incompetence or the Cardinals just saying, we're smarter than everybody else and read between the lines. We're just going to go do our thing.
And it's interesting that they don't have a better pulse on that because of how concerned they are about the local market. And they always have been. They are very concerned about being in the local paper. They're very concerned about being on the local news. And for them not to have that type of a finger on that pulse is kind of surprising to me.
They disagree. They would disagree with me, but you can own a radio station without owning it. You can own a local TV station and have them all dress in red and parade around and say how wonderful everything is and do all these fluffy pieces. At the end of the day, I'd like to see a team get to the NFC championship game. That doesn't happen.
Totally. I agree. I mean, if we think about what Bruce Arians did here under the circumstances, it's very impressive. Could Cliff Kingsbury do that? Sure, but I think part of it is his coaching, right? Like I wrote after the season, I think he's hit his ceiling as an NFL head coach. Part of it is also a big part of it is Steve Keim's drafting ability. You haven't drafted a quality receiver besides Christian Kirk in how long? Keyshawn Johnson, Andy Isabella, Hassan Butler. Two of them aren't on the team. Butler or Isabella. Was just, was just granted permission to seek a trade. You got to give Kyler Murray the weapons. Look at the Chiefs, right? They just go out and get crazy athletic dudes, crazy weapons. The Cardinals don't do that. They draft inside linebackers in the first round in back-to-back drafts. Here's where that is just baffling to me. You go out of your way to find who you think is going to be the next Sean McVay, an offensive genius, in your opinion, to be your head coach. You give him your quarterback in year one. The next 2 years, you don't give him offensive studs in the first round, whether that's a playmaker, whether that's an offensive lineman. You ask your quarterback for his input, or he just gives you his input on who he wants, yet you don't listen to him. It's like Steve Keim says one thing and does a complete other. He says what everyone wants to hear just so everyone can be happy with him publicly. But yet he doesn't do what – and then he goes and does the opposite. He doesn't do what he says. And it's always been shocking to me that they are not giving Cliff the proper talent to win with. Could they have been better last year if they had other guys offensively who could make plays? 100,000%. But they didn't. They didn't have guys who could make plays consistently after DeAndre Hopkins. So when Hopkins goes down, Cliff Kingsbury doesn't adapt the offense, and they're stuck with the talent they had, which wasn't very much.
Yeah. All right, before I get you out of here, Chandler Jones back or not?
I don't see it happening.
Okay, Christian Kirk back or not?
I don't see it happening.
Who is back do you see happening?
I think they'll probably make a push at one of the running backs. I bet you James Conner gets a ton of money thrown at him. My guess, and this really isn't, this is just kind of my own opinion, between the two running backs, Chase Edmonds and James Conner, my guess is that Edmonds would be back. But can he handle the load by himself? I don't know. He's a talented kid. I just don't know if he's cut out to be a top receiving and top rushing running back. I think that's a lot to put on one person. And I think he's going to need some help, so they might have to go find some other people there. And there's 21, free agents on this team, I think, but those are the big ones. Zach Ertz, I think, is probably going to get a ton of money elsewhere. But I think he's an interesting person. I think his wife could sway his opinion to maybe take a little bit less to stay here because she's from the Mesa area. Max Williams, I think his injury probably is going to keep him here if they want him. But yeah, that's kind of the main one that I'm keeping an eye on.
Okay, so last year was J.J. Watt, and we talked about how the Cardinals like to make splashes. Who's the splash potential free agent that you're out there saying, it really wouldn't surprise me if Michael flew him in and did the whole media show and we're all camped out waiting for the car to drive through the gate and, all the stuff that I've seen through the years with them. Who's that surprise name that may pop up to you?
I don't know. We'll talk in a week about that. I don't know. Okay. I'll think about it.
That's fair enough. I'll take you up on a week. So
let's do it.
There you go. There's Josh Weinfuss, ESPN, Arizona Cardinal reporter. Good stuff there. And we're back with Goody at the Movies with Batman. That is next. All right, as promised, Goody at the Movies. He's about ready to teach his class at Cronkite. What are you teaching?
In the spring, I teach just a basic news writing class. And in the fall, I teach a kind of an arts criticism class where they do a lot of reviews and a lot of that kind of thing.
Where they rip on movies, kind of like
they do. But the thing is, the way that you and I think of reviews, they don't think of them that way. And I think this is true of a lot of people now. They like to wait until they've seen the movie or listened to the record or read the book and then read the review to see if it brings anything to them. It's changed a lot. It's and it makes it, it's an interesting way to teach it, but it's also an interesting way to think about it. Like, what are people really getting out of these things, or what are they looking for in them?
You can find all of Bill's content over at AZ Central. Bill Gildekunz with us talking about Batman. So I went the other night. I didn't do any research. I didn't do anything. I went. I had no idea that I'd be sitting there for 3 hours almost. And I knew about Robert Pattinson only because my daughters and Twilight and all that stuff. So I went in fully unscathed on this deal and came out of it like, it wasn't bad. You know, it wasn't bad. So where are you at on this goodie?
Not just any Batman, the Batman. and 1 minute short of 3 hours, I might add. 2 hours and 59 minutes. I think it's certainly well done. It's impressively made. I think it does exactly what it sets out to do. So on that front, it's a success. I think it was kind of miserable to sit through, but I think that was the point. I mean, I think you're supposed to, you know, Batman has always been, however he's portrayed, this sort of tortured guy who is trying to work through his parents' death and his guilt and his sadness and all this kind of stuff. And maybe he's a little bit crazy. He's gone a little bit crazy, and maybe he shares that with the people he's chasing. But this was just grim. I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but I will say this. People die in really brutal ways from the start. Paul Dano plays the Riddler. Mostly you see him behind a gas mask, except that he's a great actor. You don't see him really until the last, half hour or something, which in most movies would be a pretty big chunk of the movie. In this one, it doesn't seem like as much. Robert Pattinson, I mean, he knew how to mope in Twilight, but he looks like Jim Carrey in Twilight compared to this. I mean, he's just down. I do like his haircut. I think it was really cool. But I mean, just the way he shot and the way that he looks like a zombie. And again, I think it's the point. In my review, I said the cruelty is the point. I mean, these are cruel times. These are cruel villains, and it's kind of a cruel Batman. And I just think you take everything you know about Batman, and people always make the joke, "Oh, we're going to find out how his parents died." Well, most people who follow Batman know how his parents died. Take everything you know about that and everything else about Batman and make it about 10 times darker. And I think that's like where they started from.
Well, there was a narrating voice, and I'm not going to give it all away too. The voice was just, and you know, Batman doesn't have,
it's any, effective.
Yeah, it's effective. And Batman does not have any superpowers. So it's not like I'm sitting there waiting for him to do whatever Hulk might do or whatever fill in the Wonder Woman might do. It's like, this is Batman. He's going to have some cool car. He's got a cool car in this movie. As always, the Batmobile is cool. You know, Alfred's in this movie and things happen. And it seems like Alfred in every Batman movie, something happens. I don't know. So there was some of that where I'm like, okay, this movie's done at 220. No, it's not. 240. No, it's not. These poor girls who are sitting next to me did like 3 bathroom trips during the whole show. So it was just like, but I'm not discouraging people. And they say, what do you think? It's like, well, I want Bill's opinion on this. Like, as you rank Batmans, where would you put this Batman? Where would you put Robert Pattinson?
I would put it above, I guess, the Ben Affleck Batmans and the DC, you know, all those movies. The kind of those were grim too. That's the thing now. Everything has to be grim. Nothing can be fun. And I'm not saying probably my favorite Batman movie is The Dark Knight. I won't say probably. I'll say absolutely my favorite is. And a large part of that has to do with Heath Ledger as the Joker. Now, you can't say the Joker's a good guy. You can't say he's, you know, despite his name, a barrel of laughs or anything. But Ledger was clearly having fun with that role. Now, maybe he was tortured when he was doing, you know, maybe self-torture, you know, he was gotten too deep into it. I don't know. I actually think that's true. I think that's kind of been debunked. But it was fun to watch. He was fun to watch, even though he did grim things. And I think that one of the reasons that film succeeded was, as cool as Heath Ledger was as the Joker, you're still rooted for Batman, which I think says, you know, a lot about how good Christian Bale was as Batman. I liked all the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. I like this one fine. I'd probably put this, you know, actually, I liked Michael Keaton. I thought Michael Keaton was the best Bruce Wayne, which is important because it's a dual role. You know, he's not just Batman. He's also Bruce Wayne. I loved Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne. I thought he brought the right balance of, you know, being disturbed, being having this dual personality, but still kind of living in the world. And Robert Pattinson, for all intents and purposes in this movie, his Bruce Wayne never leaves the Batcave unless it's out at night to go beat up some bad guys. I mean, he is fully in the dark in every way that you can imagine.
There's a couple of scenes where he had some makeup where I'm like, okay, that's Twilight. That's a Cullen. You have to go teach. Do you have time for one last question? Or do you need?
Sure.
So the Penguin is in this. The Riddler is in this. Where are you at on these villains in the Batman series? And did you think both of them delivered?
Well, again, Paul Dano is a good actor, but I thought that they, for what they were trying to do, I don't think he was in it enough. He just kind of pops up at the end and he's like, oh, well, actually I was doing all this other stuff. And it's like, well, sort of, but maybe we could have seen more of that stuff you were doing. And Colin Farrell, another great actor, unrecognizable as Penguin, by the way. Now he had some fun. He was the only smile in the whole thing. He was basically channeling, you know, Robert De Niro in The Untouchables as Al Capone. And he seemed to be having a good time. I really enjoyed him. So if there was a little bit of fun in it, that was that.
There was no 60s wham, bang, smack.
No, there doesn't need to. I'm fine with that. People are like, well, he should be dark. And I was like, I agree, he should be dark. He's a tortured soul. But man, come up for air every now and then. eat a bowl of soup or something.
You wonder what that crew was like on set, where they just like, oh God, let's get this over with, because every day we have to go in and work on this, and it's so dreadfully just, this guy is miserable and tortured. And so
actors have always told me those are the fun sets, because you got to get away from it a little bit. You got to break out of it a little bit. But I don't know. I hope they at least turned some lights on when they had their dinner break.
Yeah. Turn out the lights. Go teach. Thanks.
Okay.
See you. There's Goody. Bill Goody Kuntz, AZ Central. Check out all of his content there. We appreciate Goody coming on at the movies. And we're back with more after this timeout.